So that's all you need to know. It's all done. You got the whole story in one shot. All right, we don't need three more sessions. Okay. Hey, a couple of things, though. I want to, for those of you who are listening on audio, I'm sorry I didn't get mic'd up sooner, my fault. But we just did a quick discussion in the beginning of the class where we talked about things like context, the history, and the culture of the people that it was written to is different than today, so that makes it hard to understand. The sheer scope of it and the many different messages, which do tie together, like Zach just said, but there are multiple messages. The actual language, by the way, how many languages were used to write the Bible, if you picked up on that? Three. What are they? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Okay, the weightiness of the truth that's being mentioned is big. Obviously, there's a lot of violence, especially in the Old Testament. That's hard to kind of wade through sometimes, in my mind. And then the chronology, when and where did different things happen? Because the Bible is not laid out in a strictly chronological way, mostly, but not strictly, okay? So we're going to dig into those. And I want to give you one interesting little fact, okay, where context amplifies the scripture. Why did the prodigal son, Zach referred to it, why did the father, the prodigal son, run to his son when he started coming back home? What do you think? Who's got an idea?
Well, the son would not have been allowed.
Yes, that's a very, if you understand the cultural context of the Hebrew religious practices of the day, the community would not have allowed the son back in under the circumstances. They would have known about it. They would have known he took the inheritance, which his father allowed him, but he wasted it. And there's this nuance that not only was it because of his heart, it was he was telling the rest of the community, my son is welcome in this town and he's welcome in my home. That's a very another layer of the context where if you don't understand it. So we're going to dig into some of those things here. Let's just do a quick review. How many books of the Bible are there? 66. By how many authors? 40 authors. And by the way, those authors are very diverse in their background, right? Some of them are highly educated. Some of them were actually kings. Some of them were actually shepherds and farmers. Some of them were fishermen, and some were, female too. And so there's this interesting mix. Okay, how many years? 1500 years, and we got the three languages. And how many continents? Three different continents, and all one continuous storyline. Although there are flanges off of that, but there's one overarching story, okay? And what are the three literary styles? Yeah, and we're going to look at that real quick before we leave, so keep a finger on that. Okay, what did Zach recommend we do before we read the Bible? Pray. Okay, very, very good. And we need to understand the historical and cultural context of the audience. It was written for us, but not originally to us. Very good. Okay, and he mentioned about five things Western minds look, so there's more than one answer here, but Western people tend to look at the Bible and filter it through what things? They look for something. They look for facts, data, proof, analytics, you know, all of those kinds of things. Hebrew mind, Eastern mind, looked a little differently at it. And what were some of the things they looked for? Story, poetry, symbolism, and imagery, you know, things like that. Now, by the way, they're not mutually exclusive, and it's not all one or the other, but just as a general framework, they are different, okay? So, story of the Old Testament, Adam and Eve are the story of man's what and separation from God? Fall. The fall. They fell from innocence, okay? By the way, a little thing just to think about, just I love like picking up on truths. Why do you think God did not want them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What's that? It would taste bad. Okay, Jake, you should be in leadership class. There you go. I love you. Well, by the way, did they already know what goodness was for the most part? Because they were in what? The garden without sin. But what did they start to understand? Evil. And once they understood evil, then they were susceptible to sin and temptation. By the way, the tree of life that's in the garden is now in the New Jerusalem. So that's pretty cool that we get. But there is no knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the New Jerusalem, no longer there. Okay. God worked through Noah, Abraham, and Jacob to what the relationship with man to restore. Okay. And God used Moses to establish a nation and to rescue or redeem or deliver. They all kind of follow his people from Egypt. And Israel shows or demonstrates a cycle of what? They experience from God blessing. And then after experiencing blessing, what did they do? They sinned or fell away. And then after they sinned and fell away, what did they do? They repented. And then after they repented, what did God do to them over and over again? He restored them. So there's this loop cycle that happens all throughout Israel's history, okay? Okay, story of the New Testament. Jesus is God in human form and inaugurates a new what on earth? New kingdom. And there's the intention was to bring heaven to earth in the fullest way possible, knowing it would not be fully brought, right? Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection allows us to be what to God? I'm sorry, did somebody say reconciled? That's probably the best word, reconciled. We are enemies of God through our sin and separation, and he reconciles us. And now we live under a new what? New covenant. New covenant. It is the law of love, by the way. That's true, too. There's a law of love, but it's a new covenant that emphasizes the law of love. And we're called to what? The good news. Spread, proclaim, communicate. Yeah. On the back, I gave you a little bit of a slightly adjusted view of the different genres or different, not literary styles, but different types or categories of the books. I actually put Lamentations in as a major prophet. The reason being is most scholars think it was written by who? Jeremiah. I think it's about 99%. And he's giving an eyewitness account of the fall of Jerusalem. It's actually really painful to read, but it's true. And so anyways, I put him in there with that. But these are the different types. And then what were the three main literary styles used in the Bible? We already talked about them. We're going to do a group discussion real quick on it. What were the three types? Narrative, which is mostly history, story. Okay, great. And then what was the second one? Poetry. And then the third one? Prose discourse, which is the teaching. So what we're going to do is get a Bible out and bring your Bibles or get your device out. What we're going to do is somebody is going to read Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, let me know. And then somebody is going to read the book of John, chapter 21. Verses 10 through 14. 10 through 14. Okay, and then somebody's going to read the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now, the reason I'm going to do it is there are three different literary styles, and they all actually tie in somehow to creation, but from three very different standpoints. All right, so we're going to see if we can figure them out. Who's got Psalms 19? Marie, nice and loud, 1 through 3.
To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard.
Do four as well. One more.
Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun.
Which is like a what?
A bridegroom.
Coming forth from his chamber, and?
Like a strong man runs his course with joy.
And a strong man running his course with joy. Okay, what literary style is the author using? Poetry. And what does poetry tend to primarily touch? Mind, emotions, or will? Not exclusively, but there's a very strong emotional context there. By the way, let's talk about context too. A bridegroom coming forth from his chamber. In Western culture, we're thinking, okay, the guy's kind of in the side room at the altar and he's excited to come out, which is true, and see his bride coming up the. But in Jewish culture, the bridegroom prepared a house for her. And so he was like providing financially for her. And when he prepared his chamber, that was like getting that whole thing. And often it was with their parents, sometimes not. But it was like, I mean, it wasn't just like, hey, dude, I showed up an hour before their wedding and now I'm coming out. It was like I had all this stuff lined up for her and I was going to bring her back into this provision. We're very, very different, right? Changes a little bit of the meaning of it. Okay, so, and that ties in a little bit to creation and the whole bit. Here's another verse that ties into daybreak and creation from John. Who's got John? Okay, thanks. Yep. Yep.
Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged it down to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come, eat breakfast." Yet none of his disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise.
Yeah, and this is happening early in the morning while Jesus is on the shore at daybreak. What kind of literary style is being used here? Narrative story. There's a creation element just because of the daybreak, but Jesus is what demonstrating a personal connection to his disciples in the midst of something that they would have experienced regularly throughout their life, which is fishing at daybreak. And he's showing up in their world incarnationally to do something very profound. Last one, Romans. Who's got Romans? Romans 1, what was it? What did I say? Yeah, you got it? Or so who's got it? What, hey. Yes, 18 through 20. Thank you. Nice and loud. Chapter 1, 18 through 20. Go for it.
wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all of God's and wickedness of the people who suppress the wicked, the truth of, by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is only to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, the eternal power of the divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood.
Okay, so his divine attributes and his character is being revealed through what? Everything he's created in the physical world. What type of literary style is that? Teaching. It's the prose. It's the teaching component. So it's not a common thread, but it's tied into creation, and there's three different styles that are used to represent creation. So, okay, so there you go. That's a little bit of a taste here. I want to mention this, that I'm going to ask you something. The series you've figured out is longer than 4 weeks. So the series itself goes through the whole Bible up through prophecy, Revelation. I'm going to recommend something, but I want to get some feedback. Would you guys be okay if we just focused on the next three sessions on the Old Testament? Because that's what it takes. The Old Testament sessions, look on the back page at the bottom. Session two takes us through creation and the covenants that he made, especially the covenant not to judge mankind at the flood, ever again with a flood, and the covenant with what really important person in the Old Testament? Abraham. So the Abrahamic covenant. So we're going to talk about that. The second phase talks about building a nation, which started with Moses and the law, and the nation of Israel is being created and developed and moved for God's divine purposes. And then the last part is the whole thing with the prophets, especially where the nation goes through a downfall, and what happens to the nation of Israel, it eventually in two phases becomes exiled, and then they get reformed around 536 BC, and then around 400 BC, the Old Testament goes silent. Are you guys up with just focusing on that? I think if we try to rush through all seven, I don't think we'll enjoy it. But you guys okay with that? I think the New Testament, you understand, may be a little easier. But I may find a way to do the New Testament in another context. But that's what we're going to do. So it's the same format. And what we'll do is have a little bit of discussion, interaction, the content, and then discuss it together. And I'll have handouts every time. What two other things you can do if you want them? If you would like the Bible Simplified Study Guide, let me know. They do publish one, and we'll just give it to you for half price if you want it. I also want to say, too, that there's a really neat resource called Bible Study Guides, which for every book of the Bible gives a context of the book, historical, cultural, that kind of thing. And I find this like really helpful. So that, no, this is a different resource, but again, I'll, if you guys really are interested, let me know. I'll do them for half price. They're somewhere between $5 and $10. They're really, if you get them for half price, you let me know. I'll even put out a distribution list. You can just respond to it, but they're very, very good resources if you want them, and the church will subsidize half. Okay. Good. You got it? Next week, we're going to dig into creation and covenants, same format, same video. Lord, thank you for today, and help us apply it, use it, and bless others in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go get some what are they called? Buntitos? Buntinis. Buntinis is like, okay.